Iblis. What example am I referring to? When Allah told him to do sajda to Adam, what did he do? He refused. He refused. Satan refused to worship. I will not prostrate. Because you have commanded me to prostrate, I will not prostrate to Adam. So he, out of his arrogance, refused. Yet, before the end of that same meeting, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed Satan and told him to get out of heaven, what did Satan do? He made a dua to Allah. The same shaitan, the same Iblis that refused to obey Allah, dua al-ibadah, his greed forced him to make dua al-mas'ala. Oh Allah, grant me a life till the day of judgment so that I can cause them to go astray. Is this clear now? He was too arrogant for dua al-ibadah, but his greed forced him to make dua al-mas'ala. Oh God, grant me a life so that I can make all of mankind go astray. The same Allah that he refused to worship, the same Allah whose commandment he, out of arrogance, he refused to obey, when he was forced out of his greed for more life, he prays to the same God. Oh Allah, grant me a life until the day of judgment. Therefore, any person who does not worship Allah properly and yet makes dua at times of need and distress, he is, a'udhu billah, imitating Iblis in this respect. That he refuses to obey the commandments of Allah, and yet when the time comes, when his greediness gets the better of him, he needs to ask from Allah. And this is not proper. The fourth category is the proper category, where you combine dua al-ibadah with dua al-mas'ala. You worship Allah the way that he deserves to be worshipped, and then you ask him the way that he deserves to be asked. So you worship Allah and you ask of Allah. This is the perfect combination of the two categories. I hope with that it becomes clear, the two categories of dua al-ibadah and dua al-mas'ala. Tayyib, we now move on to another topic, the status and blessings of dua. Why is it so important? What are the blessings that the Prophet ﷺ has told us exist in dua? There are over 20 blessings. We'll try to summarize them in maybe 10 or 15. The more important blessings. The first one, dua is the most noble act in the sight of Allah. The most noble act in the sight of Allah is dua. The Prophet ﷺ said, there is nothing that is more noble in the sight of Allah than dua. Nothing is more noble in the sight of Allah than dua. This is because dua, like we said, it consigns man to his proper place and it attributes to God what he deserves to be attributed. It shows the proper relationship between man and God when he calls out to his God, humbled in a state of fear and piety, remembering his sins, remembering his relationship with Allah, hoping for a response, fearful of a rejection. It puts man in his proper place. At the same time, it gives Allah the rights and the blessings that he deserves by calling out to him. Therefore, it is the most noble act of worship. It is also, the second point, it is the best act of worship. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَفْضَلُ الْعِبَادَةِ الدُّعَى. The best ibadah is dua. No act of worship is better than dua. And that is why our salah contains many acts of dua. The salah, the five prayers that we do, is full of types of dua. The surah Fatiha itself is full of dua. The best act of worship is dua. The third follow-up of this is, like the Prophet ﷺ said, the dua is the essence of worship. All of these three are similar, but once again the Prophet ﷺ is emphasizing the dua, the most noble aspect, the most best act of worship, and the essence of worship. All of these three things the Prophet ﷺ said is dua. Another blessing of dua is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to make dua. Therefore, when we make dua, we obey Allah's command. Allah says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Your Lord has said, make dua to me, I will respond to you. And He also said, وَدْعُوهُ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Make dua to Him. Allah has commanded us, make dua to me. ادْعُونِي. So by making dua, we are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another blessing of dua is that the one who makes dua, Allah comes close to him. Allah comes close to the one making dua. Allah says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my servant asks you about me, tell them I am very close to them. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I respond to the dua of the one who makes dua when he makes dua. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. When you make dua, Allah says, I will respond to it. When you make this dua, I am close to the one who makes dua. So the one who makes dua, Allah loves him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes close to him. Another blessing of dua is that Allah cares about us. And Allah loves us because of dua. When we make dua, Allah loves us. Allah cares about us. And when we leave dua, then the opposite also applies. He does not care about us. Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَاءُكُمْ. Tell them, O Muhammad, the only reason my Lord pays attention to you, my Lord cares about you, is because of your dua. Were it not for your dua, my Lord would not care about you. Dua shows your love of Allah because you continually remember Him, you continually pray to Him, you continually call out to Him. This shows you that you're constantly thinking about Him, you're constantly loving Him, you're constantly wanting to come closer to Him. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the only reason I care about you is because of your dua. Were it not for your dua, I would not have any concern for you. This is what the ayah says. Du'a'ul ibadah and du'a'ul masala, both types of dua. Were it not for the fact that you worship me and call out to me, then you are of no status to me. Only if you worship me and call out to me, then you have some status in my eye. And this is without a doubt a great blessing of dua. That when a person makes dua, Allah cares about him and is concerned about him. Yet another blessing of dua is that dua is a sign of Allah's generosity, Allah's perfect nature and perfect divine attributes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَسْأَلُهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Every single creature in the heavens and the earth asks Him. Asks Him what? Allah doesn't say. Why? Because everything is asked of Him. The animals pray to Allah to grant them their food for the day. The ants and the whales and the fish, they pray to Allah to grant them their food for the day. And the human beings, all 5 billion or 6 billion of us, we all pray to God for all of our needs. So Allah did not even say what He asks. Everything in the heaven and earth asks Him. كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ. Every day He is in some matter. He is deciding some matter. He is responding to the matter or the dua of those that call out to Him. Think about it. Every single created object calls out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like we said, even the non-Muslims, all of the religions that are not Muslim, they still call out to some God. And because they call out to this one God, Allah will hear them and sometimes respond to them. And like we said, even the atheists and the agnostics, sometimes they call out to Allah. So every single creature in the heavens and the earth makes dua to Allah. يَسْأَلُهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ. Every day He has some matter to consider, some matter to bring forth. Yet another blessing of dua is that dua is a sign of one's humility, one's humbleness. You know that arrogance is one of the major sins in Islam. The Prophet ﷺ said, he who has an atom's weight of pride and arrogance in his heart will not enter paradise. Therefore, when you make dua, you show that you are not arrogant. You show that you can bow your head down, lower your soul, humble yourself in front of God, and say, O Allah, give me this. O Allah, grant me that. To make dua shows your humility to Allah. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that those who do not worship Him are arrogant. We quoted the ayah before. Those who are too arrogant to worship me, meaning those who are too arrogant to make dua. To not make dua is to be arrogant. It is that simple. To leave dua is to be arrogant. How can you survive without Allah's blessings? How can you even do the slightest thing without Allah willing it for you and making it easy for you? Like one of the scholars, Ash-Shawkani, said that to leave dua is a type of madness. To leave dua is a type of madness. Because nothing can be done without Allah's help. Therefore, when you give up this, when you cut off dua, when you do not take course to dua, this shows that you are a type of madness that's afflicted you. Because there is nothing that can be done without Allah's help. And the only way to communicate with Allah is through dua. Therefore, dua is a sign of one's humility, one's iman. Yet another blessing of dua is that dua repels Allah's anger and brings about Allah's love. And this is a beautiful thing. The Prophet ﷺ said, the one who does not ask Allah, Allah gets angry at him. The one who leaves dua, Allah gets angry at him. Why? Because this shows you that you do not think of Allah, you do not care about Allah, you do not love of Allah, you do not consider Allah all the time. And therefore this is a sign of arrogance. And some of the poets, they said that the son of Adam, when he is asked, he gets angry. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets angry when you stop asking. One of us, if we were to continually go to one person and ask him something, we would get irritated. Why are you coming to me all the time? We would get angry. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets angry when we stop asking him. So in order to gain Allah's love, we have to continually make dua. And this is the beauty of dua. The more you ask, the more Allah loves you. The more plentiful you ask, the more plentiful Allah will give you. And the less you ask, the less Allah will love you. And if you leave dua, then Allah will become angry and hate you. And this is the beauty of dua. Like the Prophet ﷺ said, that there is no Muslim on the face of this earth that asks Allah for something except Allah gives it to him, or turns away some evil from him, as long as he does not ask for something evil. Whatever you ask, Allah will respond to your dua. Yet another blessing of dua is that dua saves you from the fire of hell. It is a cause of being saved from the fire of hell. Aisha said, Ya Rasulullah, there used to be a man in Jahiliyyah by the name of Ibn Jud'an. Ibn Jud'an was a famous Arab of the past before Islam, who was very hospitable. No caravan would go by except that he would give them his tent to stay in and cook food for them and be extremely hospitable to them. So his hospitality became a parable, an example. That's how hospitable he was. So the Aisha said, Ya Rasulullah, Ibn Jud'an in the days of Jahiliyyah used to take care of his relatives and feed the poor. He was a generous person. Will his actions be of any benefit to him on the day of judgment? Will he be able to benefit from his good deeds? So the Prophet ﷺ said, no. No, O Aisha. Why? Because he never said, even one day in his life, O Allah, forgive me. In other words, he never made dua. Because he never made dua, all of his good deeds are in waste. Who cares if you're good to your fellow human beings if you cannot be good to Allah? If you cannot worship Allah? Your deeds to your human beings are meaningless if you do not acknowledge Allah. If you do not acknowledge your Creator and worship Him. If you acknowledge Him and worship Him, then your good deeds carry meaning and weight. But if you reject Him, then there is no meaning to your good deeds. Therefore the Prophet ﷺ said that all of his good deeds, and the same applies to all other people who do not believe in Allah. It doesn't matter how much good they do. If they don't pray to Allah, if they don't worship Allah, then their good deed will be of no use to them. Why? Because they rejected their Creator. What greater dhulm, what greater injustice can it be when you disobey and you reject your Creator? Even if you build hospitals and feed the poor, when you have rejected the one who created you, of what good is it to feed the poor then? Only when you acknowledge your Creator, then and only then will your good deeds carry some weight and meaning to them. Yet another blessing of dua is that dua is the only act that can change predestination. You know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already ordained things for us. The only thing that can change qadr, that can change predestination, is dua. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يرد القدر إلا الدعاء. Nothing can repeal, nothing can change qadr except for dua. The only way to change what has been written for us is through dua. And if we have time in the end, we will talk more about dua, the relationship of dua and qadr at the end. But basically, like in one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that caution will not be of any benefit against qadr. No matter how cautious you are, if something has been willed for you, it will happen. But dua benefits matters that have occurred and are going to occur. So no matter how cautious you are, you will not save yourself from qadr. But if you make dua, you might be able to save yourself from qadr. And we're going to talk, if we have time at the end, about some of the relationship between dua and predestination. Yet another blessing of dua, and this is a very important blessing, a very beautiful blessing, is that every single dua will be responded to by Allah. No matter what you ask, whenever you ask, however you ask, Allah will respond to your dua. But it might not be the way that you wanted the response. The Prophet ﷺ said, there is no person who asks Allah for anything except that Allah gives it to him or gives or keeps some evil away from him. There is no person who asks Allah for anything except that Allah either gives him what he wants, or if he will not give him what he wants, he will at least remove some evil from him that was destined for him. So you see, dua changes qadr. Suppose one of you asks for, let's say, a certain job, okay? And it is not will that he will get this job. Even though he might not get this job, because of his dua, some evil that was written for him will be removed from him. Some evil that was supposed to occur will be removed from him. Hearing this, the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, if that is the case, then we are going to make plenty of dua. We are going to increase our dua. If it is guaranteed that every single dua we make will be responded to, then we will increase our dua. So the Prophet ﷺ said, Allahu Akthar. Allah is more than that. No matter how much you ask, Allah can give you more than that. No matter what you ask, Allah can give you more than that. Like in one hadith, you know, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, O my servants, if all of you were to stand in front of me and all of you were to ask your heart's desire, whatever you wanted, and I were to grant all of you, all of your requests, then that would not diminish my kingdom, except like a needle when dipped in the ocean and taken out, diminishes the water from the ocean. When you dip the needle in the ocean and take it out, it doesn't diminish the ocean. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if all of you, the men and the ins and the jinn, were to stand in front of me simultaneously and ask me everything you could ever dream about, ever think of, and I were to give you everything that you ever wanted, then you would not diminish my dominion, my power, my kingdom, except like a needle when it is dipped in the ocean and taken out, diminishes the water of the ocean. This is Allah, this is the generosity of Allah, this is the power of Allah. You can ask whatever you want, and it will not diminish Allah's kingdom. Allah will give it to you, or He will give you something equivalent to it. And when the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, in that case we will ask for more, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah is even more than that. Allah is even more than what you can ask for. So this is the beauty of dua. Whatever you ask, whenever you ask, it is going to be responded to by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet another blessing of dua is that dua is the weapon of the weak and the oppressed. When the person has no other means of support, there is always the weapon of dua, which is the most powerful weapon. When all other roads have been cut off, when there is no hope for victory, when there is nothing that can be used as a defense mechanism, a person can always turn to dua and call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at Nuh alayhi salam. Noah, for 950 years he's calling his people, La ilaha illallah, and they don't accept him except for a few members of his family. And he has no recourse. They are much stronger than him. The whole population, the entire world at that time was his enemy, because there was only one village at that time. The entire world was his enemy except for the people that were with him. What can he do? He makes a dua to Allah, and because of that dua, this entire earth is flooded. The whole earth as we know it was flooded during the time of Noah, except for the people on Noah's ark, the Safina of Nuh. These were the people that were saved. Look at Ibrahim alayhi salam. When the king took him and was going to kill him in the fire, not a single Muslim on the face of this earth except Ibrahim. No one to help him after Allah. A huge fire is built and Ibrahim is thrown in. What does he say? Ya naru, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمٍ. He just makes a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah commands the fire to be a coolness and a sweetness to Ibrahim. Therefore he comes into the fire and comes out untouched. Look at Musa, Moses. When he is leaving Egypt, when the armies of Fir'aun, thousands and hundreds of thousands of people, are going to attack a defenseless children of Israel, no one to defend them. They don't have weapons, nothing. They are fleeing away. And the people of Fir'aun are armed, riding their camels and their mounts and their steeds of horses. No way to protect them. What happens? Musa makes the dua and the Nile splits up in front of them so that they can cross through on dry land. And then he makes a dua again, and the very Nile that was the cause of Fir'aun's life — without the Nile there is no life in Egypt — the very Nile that was the cause of his life becomes the cause of his death when it comes crashing down upon Fir'aun and the people that were with him. This is the power of dua. Look at Jonah, when he is eaten by the whale in the depths of the ocean. No way, no source of help that can come. And yet he makes a dua. فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ, in the darkness. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. In the depths of the ocean, No one can hear him, no one can see him, no one even knows he is there except for Allah. But when he makes his dua, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ, we heard him and responded to him. And therefore Allah commanded the whale to come out of the ocean and spit him onto the shore. This is the power of dua. When there is no hope, when all means of survival have been cut off, then there is always dua. Therefore this is a weapon that we can always use against our enemies. Always, no matter who the enemy is. Whether it be ourself, whether it be shaitan, whether it be our physical enemies. We can always use dua even if we don't have any other weapon. And this weapon is the strongest of all weapons if we have iman. Yet another benefit and blessing of dua is that it opens up a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It opens up a dialogue. This is the only means of communication between a person and Allah. How do we communicate with Allah? Through dua. We make dua to Allah and Allah hears our prayers. And the more we make dua, the closer this relationship, the stronger this relationship becomes. So much so that a person and those that have made dua for a very important matter, they know this. They develop a special relationship with Allah that they did not have before they made the dua. Suppose, for example, you're in a very desperate situation. Suppose there's a family member that is desperately ill, for example. In this situation, you start dua and you are totally concentrating on this dua. You open up a dialogue with Allah. You open up a conversation with Him continually, frequently, persistently, calling out to Allah. And therefore, this relationship becomes pleasing to you, becomes beautiful to you. So much so that a stage might be reached where you enjoy this relationship more than you enjoy your dua being responded to. Because you know that when Allah responds to your dua, this relationship will finish. And some people that have been in these type of situations, they know this personally. That when, in times of severe calamities, when you make this type of dua persistently, frequently, you develop a new relationship with Allah. Your iman goes to new heights. That it was never before like that. And you know that if your dua is responded to, that you will lose that relationship. Therefore, you prefer that your dua not be responded to, even though you're praying for the dua. This is the irony of it, yet the beauty of it at the same time. One final point that we'll conclude with this topic and then move on to another one, is that you would think with all of these blessings that dua is a very difficult act of worship. Because there are so many blessings, it is the essence of worship, it is the most noble act of worship, it is the one act that Allah is most beloved and pleased to. Yet, dua is the easiest act of worship. This is yet another blessing. There are no physical requirements of dua, spiritual requirements of dua, nothing. Wherever you are, whenever you are, whatever your situation might be, you just have to be conscious, that's it, and make dua. The easiest act of worship is dua. There cannot be anything easier. You don't even have to verbalize, you can make dua from your heart. Of course, there are certain etiquettes that make dua better. Yes, we were going to discuss those, but it is not necessary. You can even make a dua from your heart. Just call out from your heart if you want. The dua comes from a plea without even anybody hearing. So this is yet another, a final blessing, that dua is the easiest act of worship, even though it has so many blessings and so many fada'il and characteristics to it.